I think we've shared this story with you before, but, you know, Samaritan's Purse fervently believes that God appoints every one of those boxes for a specific child. And things happen when those boxes are opened that are not accidents. They are God directing that box to a certain place. And one of the craziest stories is the story about the box that had one shoe in it. And they were packing them and, you know, checking them. And they said, no, keep the integrity of that box. Don't take that shoe out. And that box went to a child with just one leg. And you know how much God loves a child to direct that, to make that happen. It's amazing. So thank you for being a part of Operation Christmas Child. So this morning, I want to start just by a really simple question. You know, how do we show our thankfulness to God? We know the answers to that. First, we just say thank you. When you have a reason to be grateful, you say thank you. And whether it's another person or whether it's God. And so we just tell God thank you in our prayers. We count our blessings and we thank God for each and everything that we are thankful for, including thanking God for God Himself, for being the loving, powerful, gracious, righteous, glorious Creator God that He is. And then we show gratitude, we say thank you by worshiping personally, privately, worshiping with our families, worshiping with community, the corporate worship of the church. That worship says thank you. Skipping the opportunity to worship is one of the easiest ways to say to God, I'm really not all that thankful. I'd rather do something else beside worship you. We say thank you when we obey. Obedience shows God that we're serious when we say thank you and that we're serious about our worship. Disobedience sends the exact opposite message. When we disobey God, we're saying, well, I know I said thank you and I know that I was at the worship service Sunday, but really, I don't really want to listen to the Bible or to the Holy Spirit or to you, God. I really want to do my own thing. So obeying includes loving and helping others. So one of the greatest ways to express gratitude to God is to just help people. Operation Christmas Child is a way to say thank you to God. Helping at Social Kitchen is a way to say thank you to God. Helping with the Thanksgiving dinner Thursday, whether you're providing food or what you're here helping in person, it is a way of saying thank you to God. Just be helpful, be kind and generous and helpful. It's one way of saying thankful to God. There's one more thing here. We want to say thank you to Jesus. We want to express our gratitude to God. We want to live a life that declares to both God and to others that you not only believe in God, but you owe Him everything. And you're grateful to Him for the gift of eternal life. If you want to do that, make Him known. Make Him known. Tell somebody. Share Jesus. You know, not in a militant, argumentative way, but in a, I love God and I love people, so I want to tell you about Jesus kind of way. And we've been talking about making Jesus known and sharing Christ, and we've been looking at why it's so hard. It's on one surface, it seems like just talking about the God we love, the Savior who died for us on the cross, the Savior who rose again and has taken the guilt and the penalty of our sin away and has given us the joy and the peace and the hope of eternal life, that would be the easiest thing in the world to talk to people about that. Yet we know it's not for most of us. And so we've been talking about why sharing Jesus is hard. And we've talked some about spiritual warfare. And we talked last Sunday about just the fear of sharing Christ. This morning, we're going to look at another thing that many people, when you talk to people and when we examine in the church and we study, why do we not share Christ more? One of the things that comes up over and over again is that people just don't feel prepared. The lack of preparation, lack of training. So this morning, we're talking about making Jesus known, and our subject is to be ready. Be ready to make Jesus known. And so we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. And these verses tell us to be ready. We should all be ready to tell someone about Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Peter's writing, he says, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." Now, we're going to take a few minutes to kind of look at these two verses and to see some things out of them. And then we're going to spend some time looking at some other stuff. But 1 Peter 3, 14, 15, you read that, and the thing that jumps out at us most of the time, and the reason 1 Peter 3, 15 gets quoted a lot, is this phrase, "always be prepared." Always be prepared. You know, like a Boy Scout, be prepared. For what? It says, to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's in you. Let me say this. This defense that's talking about, this reason for the hope that is in you. I don't know anybody who doesn't see this verse. And there's probably is somewhere, there's somebody who will argue against this. But I don't know anybody who doesn't see this verse as teaching us, teaching believers, teaching the church, that we need to be ready to share the gospel. What is the reason for the hope that is in us? Jesus is the reason for the hope that's in us. The gospel is the reason for the hope that is in us. The cross and the resurrection, they are the reason for the hope that is in us. The gift of God of eternal life is the reason for the hope that is in us. And so when Peter says, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope, the answer to that, someone said, why are you happy? Why do you have joy? Why do you have hope in the face of discouraging, terrible circumstances? Where does your hope come from? The answer comes from Jesus. I have hope because I'm a child of God. I have hope because Jesus died on the cross for me. I have hope because Jesus died and rose again. I have hope because even if I die, even if this thing I'm going through kills me, I'm going to live forever. That's the reason that we have hope. And so Peter is telling us to be ready to share the gospel. Peter's telling us to be prepared to share the gospel. I want to point out here that Peter seems to assume that if you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to be living a life of hope. Do you see what he says? In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared. Make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. So he doesn't say here, he doesn't stop and say, you need to have hope. He doesn't stop and say, you need to exhibit hope. He doesn't stop and say, you know, there's something in your that isn't in your life that ought to be there so that people will ask you questions about it. No, he assumes that is there. He seems to be assuming that these people that he's talking to, people are going to ask them, why do you have hope with all these bad things are happening to you? Why do you have hope? Why do you have more hope than anybody else I know? And he seems to assume that these believers are going to be living a life of hope, even in the face of struggles and persecution. He has already talked about the trials that have beset them. And after this, he's going to talk about those things some more. He refers to them as fiery trials, I believe. And he says, you will be living a life of hope that gathers attention, and others are going to be asking you about it when these difficulties happen. You know, sometimes when we're taken aback and the air's taken out of us and we can't believe this is happening right now, maybe God's purpose is just that in the midst of that difficulty, somebody will see him in us. That in the midst of that problem that we are having, we won't lose hope. And people will see that, and they'll know it's because of Christ. So here's what I want us to say what I want to say to the church. When we should be ready, always be ready to answer those questions. But we need to live with a hope that attracts others to Jesus. If we want to make Jesus known, If we want to show our gratitude for Christ by helping other people know him, and if we're so thankful for who Jesus is, we want to talk about him. We need to live our lives with a hope that attracts other people to Jesus. Now, we could put some other words in there. We could say, live our life with a love that attracts other people to Jesus. Live your life with a faith that leads other people to Jesus. Live your life with a joy that leads and attracts other people to Jesus. And any of those work. But right here, Peter is assuming that these Christians are living in a way with hope that's going to lead people to come up to them and say, what's going on here? Explain this to me. So live with a hope that attracts others to Jesus. But I've got to stop here for just a second, because I want to ask you this. Do any of us believe that we should only be ready to share the gospel with the person who asks about the gospel? That as long as nobody asks us about the gospel, we don't need to talk about Jesus. But that Peter's just saying, you know, go about your business, keep your faith to yourself, don't talk about Jesus until somebody asks you about him. I don't. We'd have to take a lot of pages out of the Bible to come away with that understanding of this. Yes, we need to pray that people will ask us, okay? Pray that people will ask you. Ask God to give you opportunities to share and increase the possibility that somebody will just out of the blue start asking you about faith or about God or about hope or about forgiveness. But don't wait until somebody asks you. The Great Commission calls us to make disciples. And Acts 1:8 says that we are his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So live with a hope that attracts others to Jesus, but always be alert for opportunities to make Jesus known. We're still looking here. We're going to back up a little bit in these verses. It says, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared. Do you see that there? In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always being prepared. Think about this for just a moment. Do you understand what this is saying about honoring Jesus in your heart? I think that we all want to honor Christ. I hope so. I hope that's part of that. That should be part of why we're here today. We're here to worship and to honor Christ. And so I think that I'm talking to the choir here, that we want to honor Christ in our hearts and in our lives. But look at what Peter says about honoring Jesus, how to honor him, at least in this instance. He's not saying this is the only way to honor Christ, but he's saying this is a way that we honor Christ. Honor Christ by being prepared to make him known. Honor Christ by being prepared to make him known. Now, Peter is speaking to believers who are facing the prospect of potentially serious persecution. You read 1 Peter, and that will become very evident to you. He speaks of persecution and suffering for righteousness' sake several times here. And he says here that if they should suffer for righteousness' sake, forget about it. If you're going to suffer for righteousness' sake, don't sweat it, because you will be blessed. You will be blessed. And in the face of an unbelieving, hostile culture, he says, honor Jesus by making him known and by being prepared to do that. He's saying to these believers, he says, don't submit to the temptation to keep your faith hidden. If you live in a place where any time your faith shows up, somebody mocks you, or somebody reports you to the authorities, or somebody says, I'm not doing business with you anymore, or you're not allowed in my store. And these were fairly common. You're not allowed in my business, my marketplace. This was fairly common kind of persecution that the early Christians faced. It wasn't all just we're throwing you to the fight into the lion's den. We're throwing you into the arena to fight. Those things happened too in Rome. But a lot of their persecution was little daily things. And so there's a temptation to hide your faith and to try to just float through life, and maybe nobody will notice that I believe Jesus is alive and the Savior. The temptation to just slip through life avoiding the ridicule, avoiding the prejudice, or avoiding the malice that was directed at Christ's followers. And Peter says to them, be ready. Be ready to make a defense of your faith. Don't hide your faith. And when your faith is discovered because of the hope that you live with, defend your faith. Tell people who Jesus is. Tell people what happened on the cross. Tell people what happened in the resurrection. Tell people about forgiveness and grace and hell and eternal life. Defend your faith. Be ready. Make a defense of your faith. Share with people that you have hope, even in the face of these struggles and difficulties and persecutions, because Jesus is the eternal King. And he's the one who has the power to forgive. And because Jesus has the power to save. And Peter's saying, don't dishonor Jesus by hiding your faith behind your silence. Be willing to speak the truth and make Jesus known. Stand up and be counted as one of God's children who's been delivered into Christ's kingdom. Now note this, there's two ways here that we honor Christ. Christ is honored by our spoken witness, by the defense that we make. But he doesn't say in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord by making a defense. He says, honor Christ the Lord as holy by always being prepared. And so the very act of preparing to be a witness honors Christ. So Christ is honored by both our preparation and our readiness and by our defense or our witness. Making the effort to be prepared honors Jesus. Praying and asking Him for opportunities and praying for wisdom and knowledge when they happen. Learning God's Word, spending enough time in God's Word that if someone walks up to us and says, can you tell me how to be saved? We can say, yes, I would love to, not let me call the preacher. Spend enough time learning the Word of God. Be ready. Learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. In those opportunities, in those situations, don't catch yourself at the end of the day thinking back to something that happened at Starbucks and realize, oh, I should have said something about Jesus there. I didn't recognize the Holy Spirit impressing upon me. I was noticing that person and I heard what they were saying and there was a little bit of interaction. And learn to know and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit daily in our lives. And learn from others how to effectively share Jesus. Face it, there are some people who are just better at it than we are. And there are people who have devoted their lives to sharing Christ with people. And we need to listen to them. And we need to rub shoulders with them. And we need to learn from them how to share Christ. So intentionally preparing to tell others honors Christ. And then, of course, the actual witness, the sharing and making of the defense, sharing Christ, making Jesus known, honors Him. So honor Christ by being prepared to make Him known. As Peter talks to us about being ready, he makes some other statements here that help us be prepared, I think, to make Jesus known. Look again at verse 14. Even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. And then he says, have no fear of them, nor be troubled. Now, we talked about fear of witnessing last Sunday. It pops up again here in this passage of Scripture. Have no fear of them. Do you see that? Even he's talking about suffering. He said, even as he talks to them about suffering for righteousness' sake, he says, don't be troubled by these troubles. And have no fear of those who are troubling you. This isn't just the standard, this guy's a stranger and I don't know him. I'm a little bit afraid to start a conversation with him because I'm shy. This is, do not be afraid of the people who you know are behind the suffering you're going through. Do not be afraid of the people who are causing you trouble. He says, have no fear of them. Do not be afraid to tell someone, okay? Do not be afraid to tell someone about Jesus. Don't remain silent out of fear. Even if that person has the power or the potential to make trouble for you. Peter says that if they do make trouble for you, you'll be blessed. Even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. God will bless you. God will provide. He will reward you. So don't let Satan win that spiritual battle and convince you that there's something to be afraid of that will keep be silent. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be afraid to tell people that you believe in Jesus and that you believe in what Christ did on the cross. Don't be afraid or ashamed to tell people that you believe that not only did Jesus die, He rose again. There is power in the spoken word that I believe that Jesus is alive. And while it may seem like in this modern intellectual scientific world of critics and cynics, that that might be putting people off, but understand that when Christ is declared as the living God, the living Redeemer, somewhere, somebody, the Holy Spirit is using those words. So do not be afraid to tell someone about Jesus. One more thing here in the Scripture. Part of being ready, I really think this, part of what Peter's teaching here, in your hearts, honor Christ as holy and be ready. Always be prepared to make a defense, to tell someone about Jesus, about the reason for the hope that's in you. Then he says, yet do it with gentleness and respect. And we need to hear that. If you ever witness someone proclaiming the gospel with a mean, judgmental, critical spirit, you will not forget it. And I remember walking on the campus of SIU in the 70s, and there's a street corner preacher. He was from Kentucky, and he's standing just outside of Fainter Hall, and he's preaching to the students who are walking by, and they needed the gospel, and they needed Jesus. But let me tell you, he wasn't making Jesus known. He was pointing at co-ed student girls, female students, who he'd never met before in his life, and calling them whores. And he was telling all of them that they were dying and going to hell. And I know that he thought that he was getting their attention and he was trying to get them to think about eternity. But really what he was accomplishing was just causing Christians to appear to be contemptible with their lack of compassion and their lack of love. We need to hear this. Peter says, always be prepared, but not to argue. Don't be prepared for a debate. Don't be prepared for an argument. Don't be prepared for a quick, witty, short, crass comeback to silence that person. Be prepared to share Christ with gentleness and respect. Share Jesus with gentleness and respect. We don't go forth as followers of Jesus out into this world to argue people out of hell and into heaven. We do not go out to condemn people. You know why? Because we want to make Jesus known. And Jesus did not condemn people. He's going to sit on the throne. He's going to judge us all someday. But when Jesus in the incarnation was walking on this earth, he didn't condemn people. He had some very harsh words for the religious hypocrites who professed to honor God, but were really just looking out for themselves. But over and over and over again, Jesus met the people who were seen as sinners, and he treated them with gentleness and respect. The woman at the well, He loved her and treated her with gentleness and respect, and he won her. The woman caught in adultery, he loved her and he had compassion on her. And unlike her religious accusers, he treated her with gentleness and respect. Over and over again in the gospel, Jesus meets these people who need God and need forgiveness and need grace. And he, over and over again, he is gentle towards them. And he treats them with respect. Yes, he walked into the temple and he turned the money changers' tables over and he pulled out a whip and drove them out of his father's house. But out there in the world, with the sinners, over and over and over again, he's treating them with gentleness and respect. Every one of these lost people who live around us are created in the image of God. And just like our own sin, their sin is not to be approved of. But don't mistake being kind and respectful with approving of their sin. As human beings that God created and whom God loves, they are to be treated with gentleness and respect. And we will not win a community. We will not win a neighborhood. We will not win a neighbor. We will not win anybody without the gentleness and respect that Peter speaks about here. So avoid at all costs arguments and debates. Avoid critical, condemning spirit. Care about people. Be caring. Love people. Be loving. Share Jesus with gentleness and respect. I want to try real quickly this morning to share some resources with you to help you be ready. I'm not just here to say, be ready, get yourself ready. I want to try to share some things with you. We've been talking to you about this Tell Someone book for a long time. We've passed it out. We've tried to give one to every family. Our life groups have studied this book. Some of them are still studying it. At least one is. Please read this book. Decide you want to be ready. Now, this book is not a gospel presentation. It's not a step-by-step plan to try to fit into every situation. You read this book, you're not going to come away and say, well, Greg Laurie, the first thing he does is say this, and then he uses this Bible verse, and then from that Bible verse, no, that's not what this book is. But this book will help you. It is very helpful in sharing and showing some of the how-to of just looking around us and being ready to have gospel conversations with people. So read this book. We still have some. They're not all gone. There's five or six back there on that little table back there at the back. There's some out in the foyer and there's some here. And they cost $12.99 at Lifeway. But read this book. If you want to be ready, this is an outstanding resource. And if you're not in a life group and you didn't get to join a group study about this, say, Randy, I'd like to kind of do that study on my own. The videos that go with this are very good. Just come to me. I'll get you set up with a flash drive for your computer or your smart TV, and you can hear Greg Laurie teach you how to tell someone, be ready. Tell Someone by Greg Laurie. The Roman Road. If you've been around churches very long, Southern Baptist churches, you've heard at some point of the Roman Road. And you may have even marked your Bible with the Roman Road. It's five verses from the book of Romans that you can use to share with someone how to give their life to Jesus. But you know what we do? We take our big Bible that we bring to church and we mark it with the Roman Road, and then we throw it in our car, or we take it in, throw it on the end table or by the table beside our bed or on a shelf, and we don't take it with us anywhere. And so we need to get a small pocket New Testament, and we need to mark it. Or you can get the Roman Road app and put it on your smartphone. Now, I've got one. It's a very, very simple thing here. It's just, it's a Roman Road app. That'll be cool. It's got one page. And it has, on that page are those five verses. And there's nothing else that goes with it. It's just the scripture. But it's very handy if you're in a situation where you say, I want to show this person these scriptures, to just pop that out on your phone. Most Christians I know have a Bible on their phone. Okay? I have the YouVersion. It's probably one of the most common Bible apps that people have. You can get, I don't know if there is a Bible version that exists that's not on YouVersion, a Bible translation. I have the Roman Road marked in yellow and bookmarked in my YouVersion Holy Bible app on my phone. But you can mark it in your pocket New Testament and carry it in your purse, put it in your pocket and carry it with you. Five verses from the book of Romans. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We could all say that together, probably. Romans 6:23, we could probably all say that together. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And most people know those two verses. Many believers, maybe most in the right word anymore. We've heard those verses, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23. The next one is Romans 5:8. And you might not just off the top of your head have been able to say that. Romans 5:8, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then it's two verses, but it's in the same place. Romans 10:9 and Romans 10:10. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I hope you're writing these down. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9, Romans 10:10. Mark it in your Bible, whether it's on your phone or it's a nice little handy New Testament that you're carrying with you. For with the heart, Romans 10:10, with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So the Roman road, it's a great resource. Share Jesus without fear. We have taught this in our church. It has been a few years. Faye Williams, he's a full-time evangelist, and he developed a presentation called Share Jesus Without Fear. Guess what? There's an app. There is an app for Share Jesus Without Fear. Guess what? I have it on my Bible. And it's really a pretty neat little app. You download it to your iPhone or your smartphone, Share Jesus Without Fear. Right there it says videos. And Faye Williams will teach you on your smartphone how to share the gospel using Share Jesus Without Fear. There's five videos here. Success in witnessing, five questions, it's so simple, objections, and where God is working. That's just on the videos. If you go to the app, if you put it on your phone, you go to the app, and you punch witnessing plan, it gives you an introductory paragraph. Then he has five questions to use. Do you have any kind of spiritual belief? To you, who is Jesus? Do you believe there is a heaven and a hell? If you died right now, where would you go? If what you believe were not true, would you want to know it? And that's the key question. You're talking, you don't have to use all five of these questions, but you're having the conversation and you're talking about spiritual things. And you ask, if what you believe wasn't true, would you want to know that? And if they say yes, then you say, well, can I show you what the Bible says? And he has seven Bible verses in his presentation. And he shows you how to go through those seven verses and then how to close it with asking the key questions. Are you a sinner? Do you want forgiveness for your sins? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again? Are you willing to surrender your life to Christ? Are you ready to invite Jesus into your life and into your heart? And it even has a little sample salvation prayer. Lifeway prints these little pocket New Testaments, Share Jesus Without Fear. And they have the questions. Oh, yeah, and there's another thing on that app, too. There's like 30 objections, things that sometimes people say when you're trying to share Christ with them. And you pick out the one they are bringing up and you click on it and it gives you scriptures and answers to their objections. It's a great tool. They have these little Share Jesus Without Fear. They'll fit in an inside pocket and a back pocket. You can buy a letter one for $12.99. These are $6.99. They didn't have a case of them at Lifeway, so I didn't buy a case. But I bought all of them that they have. And if you get up here first, I think there's 8 or 9 of them. Pick one up and take it home with you today. I hope all 9 of these are gone when the service is over today. Share Jesus Without Fear. It is a really good method, strategy, plan, whatever you want to call it. I'm running out of time. four spiritual laws. That's a very common track. Many people have used it. There's some of you in this congregation who have used that track. Guess what? There's an app for it. Four spiritual laws. You can put it right on your phone. Law one, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for you. All the scriptures that go with it. The second law, man is a sinner separated from God. And all the scriptures that support that. The third law, Jesus is the only provision of God for the sinner. And all the scriptures that go with that. And the fourth law, that we must receive Christ. We must individually receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And all of the scriptures that go with that. You can download that on your phone and have it with you, or you can carry the tracts. There's a thing called Share Your Faith. I'm not going to go through that. It's an app. It uses the chasm. Sin has created a canyon, a chasm between, a gulf between God and man. We're on one side and God's on the other, and Christ is the way across. And it diagrams it out on your phone. There's one called Three Circles. And just, Sheila, go ahead and put that picture up there. There's a little track. It looks like this. Life, Three Circles, Life Conversation Guide. And it goes through the three circles, which are, the three circles are God's design, brokenness, gospel. And you can learn this, and you can just do it on a napkin or on a piece of doodle paper. And you can learn how to go through, and you can learn the scriptures that go with it. If you have trouble remembering the scriptures, guess what? There's an app. Now, I'll be honest, I love this presentation. This is a really good way to share the gospel with somebody. Their app does not work very well on my phone, but you might download it and it worked great. It's supposed to work on a touch phone, and you draw the circle literally on the screen of your phone, and up comes God's design, and you make the arrow, and up comes sin, and the other circle, you do all that. I have a hard time getting mine to actually do it when I put my fingers on it, but it's a great means of sharing the gospel, and there's all kinds of things that go with it. You can get the really nice little attractive Three Circles New Testament, or you can get the little softback one. Again, they did not have a case of these. So there's like seven of them. If you want one, and you're one of the first seven people up here, take it home with you. And it has the Three Circles presentation in the front, and then you've got the scripture to go with it. There's also a book that's been written by Jimmy Scroggins and Steve Wright, called Turning Everyday Conversations into Gospel Conversations. Turning Everyday Conversations into Gospel Conversations, that helps you learn how to sit down with somebody, have a conversation with them, and lead them into the Three Circles presentation of the gospel. We need to make a concentrated effort to be ready. To be ready to share Jesus with gentleness and respect. After everything He's done for us, we honor Him by preparing and being ready.